All right, at this time, I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. It is October 1st, 2015. The time is 7:02 p.m. At this time, I would like to ask this young lady sitting here to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you do that? What's your name? Abby, would you lead us in the pledge? Sure you will. We'll help you.
Yes, you will.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Abby. That was the best one we've had yet. All right, well, welcome everyone to October 1st. Fiscal report.
Well, the only thing I have tonight is I was going to pass and let the police, because it's literally going to take 40 seconds, so I might as well just do this. I would ask that you motion to approve the following meeting minutes: August 6, 2015 trustee meeting, September 3rd, 2015 trustee meeting, and the September 7th, 2015 trustee meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion to approve the following meeting minutes: August 6th, 2015 trustee meeting, September 3rd, 2015 trustee meeting, and the September 17th, 2015 trustee meeting.
Chairman Mazur, second.
I'll second the motion.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries. I apologize. The fiscal report is because it's October 1st. What's the...
Well, it's always the fiscal report, but I just don't have anything because September, typically I would have financials for you, but today's the first and we haven't closed the books for September yet.
Okay.
So the only thing, the only fiscal report I have is just asking you to do these tonight. I'll have the financials mid next week so we can have them for the next meeting approval.
Okay. All right. Next on the agenda is public comment. Is anyone here for public comment? I know we have someone who wants to speak later on one of the agenda items, but anyone else? For, if not?
This is my first meeting here.
Yes.
I'd just like to say.
Come on up here, sir. Name, address, and...
Brian Antelosi, 11381 Trenton Road. I don't think we're part of Genoa Township, but I'm here to represent my wife. She's getting sworn in tonight, and I just think it's great that you guys say the Pledge of Allegiance. So
very good.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. That's great. All right. Public comment, please. Chief. We have some ceremonial activities tonight, huh?
Thank you. And before I start, I just want to recognize two officers in the back. Officer Jim Demmon is here, and Officer Emily Brees is here. They've had a busy afternoon. They've handled a four-car accident, a felony arrest, and they just recently did CPR on a gentleman, a resident who was in cardiac arrest, and they, along with fire department, were able to resuscitate this gentleman. And I hear he's breathing on his own now.
Wow.
So, want to recognize them for a great job. And I know they may have to leave to get another call in any second, so I'll go quickly. But
when did you come on duty? At 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's been a busy afternoon. All right. It's my pleasure tonight to ask you to pass a resolution to hire a new full-time police officer. I'd like to introduce you to Kathleen Antelosi. Kathleen went through our hiring process. It's a pretty rigorous, long process, and she came through with flying colors. Very highly recommended by other agencies she's worked for. Did very well on our panel interview. Kathleen is originally from Youngstown, lives currently in Galena, just a short drive away. She most recently worked at Ohio Health and Security there as a lieutenant, I believe, and also was a reserve officer at Westerville, and also has prior experience as a part-time officer at Shawnee Hills. So it's our good fortune that we're able to bring her on to our team. She's joined tonight by her husband, Brian, and her son, Colton, who's two. So with that, I would ask for your approval to hire Kathleen as a full-time police officer.
Very good.
I'll make a motion to hire Kathleen Antelosi to the position of full-time police officer with the Genoa Township Police Department effective
October 4th,
2015.
I'd be happy to second that motion.
Motion was made and seconded. Any further discussion? Very good. As a fellow person from Youngstown, I will not abstain from the vote, it's good to have you on board.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries.
At this time, if you want to step up to Mr. Myers, and he will give you the oath of office. I want to welcome our new officer. At this time, I'd ask Kathleen to go over between the flags, and I'm going to give Brian her badge to pin on her. Yes. That's good. You want to step up and get some things? Hey, Paul. Get Chief in. Give Chief in. And I'm going to run over and do cake, but I had two quick things. First of all, I would ask for a we're requesting to move $11,000 from our BWC account to other employee reimbursements to cover for tuition reimbursements for the remainder of the year. We had a few more people go to college than we anticipated at the beginning of the year, which is a good thing. So to cover for the contractual requirements for tuition reimbursement, I'd ask for $11,000 to go to employee reimbursements and a blanket purchase order.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion to. I'm sorry. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I motion to authorize the fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriations. This is going to be from account number 2191-330-230-0000 in the amount of $11,000. That is the police fund BWC account. That money is moving to account number 2191-210-259-0000. Again, the amount of $11,000. That is the police fund other employee reimbursements. And also, I'm going to be moving from account number 2191-330-230-0000, in the amount of $3,000. Again, the police fund BWC account to account 2191-210-420-0006, in the amount of $3,000. Once again, and that is the police fund operating supplies uniforms. I guess I got ahead of ourselves because that's going to be the other motion later.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and move. I'll go ahead and motion to move the money now.
Okay.
Okay.
For both items, and then
okay.
You can explain the other.
And on the operating supplies, we had a couple items that came up unexpectedly. We had to replace a couple printers, some toner, and a laptop.
Yeah, and let me amend that because it's not operating supplies uniforms. It's is
it? Office supplies.
Okay, okay. Strike that. It is operating supplies right. Uniform, excuse me. That's my motion.
Okay, sir, okay. Second.
I'll go ahead and make a second on that motion.
Further discussion.
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye. Mr. Carries.
Thank you. Those are the only items I have. Again, Kathleen will start Sunday. Also, we have our new office assistant, Christy Duffy, who you approved at the last meeting, who will also start Monday. So we have two new people joining our team. We're pretty excited and getting ready to welcome them aboard.
A lot of new faces, and they're all local, too, which
yes,
is also
yes.
Nice.
Yes, Christy's local also. She worked at Fifth Third Bank here in town for 19 years. So.
Wow. Good deal.
It's great to see.
Where was the four-car accident?
Do you know where the four-car accident was?
Yeah, okay.
I did not get that wow. That detail.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they've been busy today.
Yeah, okay.
So, Chief, give us 1 minute, though, because the money was appropriated, but they haven't motioned on the two actual purchase orders yet.
Okay. So it asks for a motion on the blanket purchase orders.
Cool. Yeah. We need to call. Oh, yeah, we just voted. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $11,000 for tuition reimbursements.
I'll second that motion.
Made second to discussion.
That was the first half of the original motion
right.
I made.
Okay.
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye. Motion carries.
Let's see.
But it's for office supplies.
Yeah, office supplies, right. Like motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $3,000 for office supplies.
Seconded.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries.
And that's all I have.
That was an office computer. It wasn't the, because we approved one for cruiser.
No, this was different. This was a laptop for our new SRO, Genoa Middle.
Right.
Yeah. What's the computer?
All right.
Anything else,
Chief?
No.
Anything else going on in the township? Anything happening?
Normal day-to-day business, nothing out of the ordinary right now, which is good.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Good.
Congratulations on the new officer.
Maintenance, Bob.
The first item is a discussion about the Maxtown Road funding for the TIF.
Okay.
All checked with the attorney, and we can take out the TIF fund for all the materials we use down there so we can get money back into the road and bridge fund to finish out projects that we still have open.
What would be the amount of that? Well, I guess we have a...
There were two different... One was for labor, I believe, and the other one was for materials.
For materials, right. And this would be just for the materials.
Yeah. And for the 20-degree.
Yep. I don't have the...
Yeah, I don't need
the amount.
215?
Just the round amount.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion to transfer $215,000 from the TIF fund to the Road and Bridge Fund for road improvements on Maxtown Road and Trail.
I'll second that motion.
Made and seconded. What was the balance in our TIF fund?
TIF fund had roughly $1.4 million in it. Maybe it's over.
It was over. It was like 1.46, I believe.
1.46. That was before this.
And we, well, I was just going to add on to that. When we specifically, is when we came up with the settlement agreement with both the City of Westerville and with the Westerville City School District, when we drew up the new TIF agreements, part of that involved getting access or getting easements along Maxtown Road for the purpose of future trails, which is part of what we're doing here today. So, I mean, we already have the legal opinion that we can use it for this purpose, but it was also written in the agreement that there were going to be improvements made along Maxtown Road, and I think that this is more than appropriate to do so.
So it's within the spirit and the...
I believe so, yeah, absolutely. Yes. And it does kind of take the burden off our road levy as well. Right. Just that we have roads throughout the township that need to be paved, and let's focus those funds for those purposes.
Purposes, yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Roll call. None.
Frank.
You have to come to the...
Come on, Frank.
Frank D'Antonio, 8041 Lewis Center Road.
Thanks.
Isn't the TIF geographically restricted by a particular area?
Does not have to be spent within the TIF district. Does not have to. It has to be spent in a way that will benefit the TIF area. Does not have to be spent wholly within the TIF.
Within a defined geography.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Bob.
Next item, let's go to the sidewalk zone 2 discussion. We have completed the first 262 houses that were on it, and during that time, we went around and from over the winter, looked at everybody's sidewalk in Zone 2 again, just like we did in Zone 1, and passed out around 104 letters. 66 of the residents in that area wanted it done this year, and the others we haven't heard from, so on the letter we sent out to them, said if you could have it done this year, we'll do it with the contractor. If not, then you will have to make the repairs next year. And we got 66 that said they want to do it. And the contract was for $104,060, I think it was. And so we can go over by 10%. Without having to rebid it, so that'd be $10,460, and with what we have left that's not been spent out of that $104,007, so we have roughly around $18,000 left to do the 66 houses if you approve the $10,460 additional dollars to make $18,000.
Yes. How does that money actually come in if it's assessed on the property?
We bill the residents when we have all the sidewalks done. Mm-hmm. They have till the end of the year to either pay it or they can have it assessed through their taxes. But when the auditor, it would be assessed in 2017. Because it will be too late to get on the 2016 tax bills.
Yeah, because they've already established them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had about 74 or 75% of the people in Zone 1 paid theirs, and we have some that will be assessed in 2016 to recover that money.
How many years do they?
They have 5 years with no interest.
And is that the, whose policy is that?
We did. We established that.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Well, we had a choice as to how many years did we want to stretch it out,
stretch it out.
Did we want to try to recover any interest, and we decided make it a long period and not charge any interest.
So, Bob, as I understand it, we have 262 houses in that area.
That we originally sent the letter to, that we went ahead and contractor has done the work.
Okay. 104, go through the numbers again, there are 104 letters?
104 additional letters.
Additional.
After we had the contractor in the township working, we went around and looked at the sidewalks, and from over the winter, because we was over a year out,
right,
we found 104 houses had deficiencies. And then we sent them a letter,
yep,
and 66 of them responded, and they want them fixed this year.
This year, right. Okay. That helps.
The 74% of the people that have already paid it, is that surprising? Did we anticipate more people taking advantage of the assessment?
It didn't surprise me. I thought we'd actually get more payment. Because we had an awful good rate that first year. We only paid $664 a square foot. This year we're paying $915.
All right. So that's zone two.
Yes, that's zone two.
So next year,
we got zone three, which is east of Tussey and south of Big Walnut, and then north of Maxtown. And
so it's Medallion.
Medallion, Eagle Trace, Barrington, Harvest Wind.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we have over 200 houses in that area that we have already checked, went around the whole area, and that's what we're going to send the letters out the 1st of January for that zone.
Okay.
And then all we have left is north of Big Walnut, and that area is relatively newest, and I wouldn't think it'll be 75 houses in there that will have letters.
Are there any east of Hoover?
No sidewalks east of Hoover.
So that'll complete the township sidewalks.
Yeah.
For how many years?
Well, we'll start going back around in 4 years for the first ones we did.
So next year you'll do the rest of this 104 that didn't want to have it done this year.
That will be included plus east of Tussock.
Okay. And then the year after that would be the
east north of Tussock that has additional letters.
Okay.
Plus north of Big Walnut.
Okay.
So Bob, we'll have the same situation we had this year where there will be an overwinter. So will we go back in and do another analysis to see if there's others that have over the winter have
not in zone two. That's from zone three. There will be
zone three
additional letters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's been a
big
project.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Do you need an appropriation of $10,000 tonight to make it 18?
Yes. I need the 10,460. It's in the
10,640.
10,460.
10%.
Okay.
It's 10%. That's all we can legally go over without rebidding.
It's on the next page. It's on page three.
Okay.
That 11,000 amount
should be 10,460. That's what it was throwing me. Yeah.
Well, do you want it to? Should we make it just 11 flat, or do you want?
She raised it up.
No, we can't.
You can't.
All
right.
But like I say, legally, we can only go over the contract by 10%.
640 or 460?
640.
No. What was the original contract? 104,000 what?
No, it's 10,460. That's all we can legally go over.
Okay. So the original contract
was
104,600.
600.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion to authorize a fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriation from account 1,000, 2015-110-319-000 in the amount of $10,460, which is the general fund other professional technical, to account 1,760-730-000 in the amount of $10,460. General fund improvement of sites.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Made and seconded. Discussion.
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries. Bob, overall, I mean, people, this has been as well received as can be expected, I assume.
We have had very few complaints.
Yeah.
Most of them are, well, 66 additional one have done this year,
right?
Because they're trying to keep their properties looking good.
Yeah.
They say that makes them look better when they're fixed.
Well, you get complaints either about that, or you get complaints because the sidewalks are buckling
torn
and
up, yeah.
Right, exactly, torn up, and
yep.
People are tripping, and yeah.
All right, great, thanks.
Let's go ahead and do the purchase order then.
Yeah.
That we just so. Mr. Chairman, I'll motion to approve a purchase order to Duracell in the amount of $10,460 for change order number one for sidewalk repairs.
I'll second that motion.
Made and seconded. Discussion.
We'll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Mr. Carries. All right.
And then I have three then and now purchase orders from hauling dirt and debris from McNamara to the dumps, and for concrete work on various streets per the CSR list, and CSR stands for Customer Service Request, and it totals, the three invoices total $28,820.
So it's all rolled into one.
Yeah. It's all rolled into one.
Motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve a then and now purchase order in the amount of $28,820 for miscellaneous concrete and hauling to to McCoy Paving.
Yes,
correct.
Okay. Seconded.
And seconded. Discussion.
Just glad you guys got the debris out of the park in a timely manner. As timely as could have been expected.
Yes, we are still trying to get the dust swept up and the debris from the dust residue and clean in the pervious pavement over there.
Bob, and I know some of that was logistics, some of it was timing, some of it was whatever. So in the future, is that being factored into future contracts where that stuff is just taken right away? I mean, I realize that we were doing a lot of the work. This was primarily Maxtown. And
yeah, Maxtown and the road projects we did, the prep work for resurfacing, I did was able to get Mid-Ohio to buy all that broken up asphalt. Gave us almost a $5,000 credit when all we had to do was haul it up to Mid-Ohio. But in the future, I'm going to try to do something different as far as getting enough trucks on the job to haul it right to the dump or to the asphalt so we ain't dumping it. I'm going to try to still get the big pile of grindings out of the garage. I think Mid-Ohio will take them for credit, the way he talks, and I don't want it to get like it did this year. I want to stay ahead of the game because it don't look good. I'll be the first to admit it,
yeah.
And it should never have been over there that long, but it was just logistics and shorthanded.
To be fair, we didn't have a choice. I mean,
no.
we don't have a property that we can just store debris on.
So I know there were a couple settling issues over there on Maxtown. There was a hump and a dip and everything, but it looks like that's getting
We'll finish tomorrow. All the pavement work down there will be done, all the walk paths done. All we got is a few more dirt areas from the woods up to the end of the church property to finish. Got to put a fence up down by the bridge.
Okay.
And that will all be done. We'll reseed where the grass has not come up very well, but it's because it's been so dry. And we'll be done with that within the next week or two completely.
I can't tell you the number of people who have commented on it. I mean, it's just...
All the residents...
Positive comments.
All the residents come out and talk to us all the time, and they just say that it's so much better because traffic, you can move over in the center now, and you don't have to wait forever to turn into your driveway from one side to the other. So they're real happy. And no drainage problem on either side of the road now.
Right. I know that was a common comment we had before, was the drainage and the water sitting. And to get that in addition to the road fixed is a great gain along there.
We probably next meeting we'll have final, how close are we to coming up with a final tab for that?
The final tab is what you got. I added what we're doing down there right now. It is the final tab. That's all we're going to spend on.
But as far as a total, if we can have maybe, because I know that I know there was a significant savings over what a number that I had seen, or I think what had been proposed by the county.
Yes.
So maybe at the next meeting, if we can pull those numbers together, call or someone,
yeah.
See where we're at.
Yeah.
All right.
One other question. Yep. Ed McNamara, is there any other repair work or anything else that will need to be done now that all the debris is cleaned up, the dirt's cleaned up? Anything with the parking or drive areas?
Once we get the dust and all the stuff removed, I'll re-stripe it. And I did not have the guy that sealed it do that area because we were dumping over there. And I had him come back to do some touch-ups, and he completed almost all them touch-ups, but there is a couple more places I've seen, and he's going to come back and touch them up and redo them, and then we'll seal that whole lot next spring. There's no sense of taking a chance this late in the year to get a seal.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, we do need to go back to the TIF issue that we need to make a permanent appropriation just to account for the moving of the money. So we forgot to get that motion. I'll go ahead and do it. So I have a motion to amend the 2015 permanent appropriation for the TIF fund other financing uses from $0 to $215,000.
I will second that motion.
Made and seconded?
Yeah. We just need to reflect on the current appropriation.
Right. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks for catching that. Yeah. All right, Bob. Let's pray for a mild winter.
That's what I was going to tell you. Only had one more thing. We are going to start getting trucks ready for winter. And McNamara and Freeman is completely finished now. All the plants, all the playground, they're all in. So we got some new dog stations that we're putting up because the baskets have rotted out. But just a little stuff like that.
Okay, very good.
And we do have start working on the garage for the Halloween party.
Good.
Our biggest event. Don't even talk about Halloween yet. I'm not even ready. I don't know if you saw the article in the paper where they were talking about Halloween and Warpsy and so let the games begin on that. The most controversial thing we deal with in this township is when we have trick or treat night.
The Buckeyes are on a bye that night. That's all you need to know.
Okay. Good. All right.
All bets are off next year, but
Yeah, right, right. All right, Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fire, Joe.
I believe that you are all aware that we've been in the process of working towards a resolution to dispose of the 1996 water tanker that we have. Recently, we received the opinion from the county prosecutor's office that what we were proposing to do was well within the legal limits and within the law. So I believe you should have in front of you some language, but we would ask for you to consider a resolution that would authorize Chief Honeycutt to enter into a contract with Brindley Mountain Fire Apparatus for the purpose of brokering the sale of the 1996 SEMO International Water Tanker. I think your language probably reads a little different.
Do you have any idea, just ballpark, what that might bring?
The gentleman that we have been dealing with, they do a lot of this. They're in, if you're looking at it, they're in Alabama. He says that the type of truck that we have, single axle, 2,000 gallon, with a smaller pump on it, is a very popular type of truck. And he says our year condition of the vehicle has sold up to $70,000.
So to be clear, this firm would kind of just cast a big net, like nationwide, to see who needs a tanker?
A lot of it now is internet-based.
Okay.
And they have magazines they publish and send out to various fire departments, and, of course, a lot of repeat customers. Various places that they don't have the money to go buy new, but they can buy used. You know, a lot of more rural volunteer departments may not take many runs a year, but that's what they have to buy, is they need some tankers. So they go down the road of purchasing used as versus new, because they just don't have the funds. So they do a lot of marketing. Like I said, we receive magazines all the time at the firehouse from these various companies, and they do a lot of internet-based advertising.
Joe, did we do any checking around here? Adjacent fire departments, the rural fire departments, that may need a water tanker?
We actually did have a couple inquiries as soon as we relayed to you all that you all had given us the green light that we were going to sell it. I actually had two local agencies contact us directly, one a former employee who works in Lancaster, and then also volunteers at a smaller department outside of Lancaster. We kind of gave them a ballpark idea of the price, and we even offered, if they'd be interested, to split that price into 2 years to help the department out. And they were not even willing to entertain that offer. And then the other department, once they heard the price, which was lower than the selling price, the $70,000 I spoke to you of, they were not interested either. So
the purpose of going through this firm is to maximize the sale
our,
return.
Our sales opportunity, absolutely.
So if we, we probably have a number in mind, what we want to get out of this thing, what it's worth.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
How much latitude does the agent have in negotiating the price? They bring everything back to you, say they get an offer for $65,000 or whatever. Do they bring those back to you if it's below a certain amount, or how does that come back?
My understanding is the buyer comes to them, and this was part of the legality that we had to get through the prosecutor's office. Then the transaction takes place between us and the buyer directly, and then it's a good faith part of the contract that we make the sale, we disclose what we made the sale to, and pay them their brokerage fee. Because the legality was not selling to the broker, not selling through the broker, It had to be a A to B transaction, buyer to seller, government agency to government agency, to remain within the law.
Okay, so all the price negotiation or agreement is strictly us. One-to-one between us and the buyer?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
So if we sign a contract with them, it's like a real estate deal, I would assume. I mean, are we then bound if Harlem were to come over and say, hey, I understand you have a truck for sale, we'd be interested in buying it. Are we still committed to paying these guys a commission, even if the buyer does not go through them?
Yes. And that is in the contract, if you have a copy. Do you have a copy of that?
Yeah.
In the department owner, the second line at the end there says, if the agent owner sells the marketed apparatus or any other apparatus to the customer, oh, I'm sorry, that I read that incorrectly. That's previously preferred. Okay, lower paragraph. Either party may terminate at any time by notifying the other party in writing if any sale takes place subsequent to termination to a party previously referred by Brimley. Okay, so that, to me, also reads the same as above. So I say if someone comes to us from the outside,
says agent owner agrees to notify Brindley at the time of sale as to the sale price and the name and address of the buyer, regardless of whether or not Brindley referred the buyer. Agent acknowledges the failure to provide this information resulting in fees payable to Brindley. Then the last paragraph says either party may terminate at time by notifying the other party in writing. If any sale takes place subsequent to termination, to a party previously referred by Brindley, the same commission will be paid as if the agreement were still in effect.
Correct.
But so after we terminate, if Brindley had referred someone to us,
yes,
then we still.
So as a, I think their protection is if they send us a buyer and we say,
we don't need you
off,
anymore, yeah,
and then
yeah,
we terminate the contract and then they find out that we
right,
did sell to that customer,
right,
they're
yeah,
asking
yeah,
for their.
Sure.
But if,
I understand.
But if we terminated the contract and then Harlem came and asked,
right,
and Harlem wasn't somebody that was previously referred, then I think we're well within our bounds.
Correct.
And Brindley doesn't get any cut of that.
And Carl, I do not see anything in here that if we sign this contract next week and the day after Harlem came to us, I do not see anything in here where we are obligated to them because they didn't bring us the buyer.
Well, the one thing we got to watch for, though, is if we do sell to somebody after that, we have to notify Brindley anyway, so that I'm sure they're aware that whether it was a referral or not.
Sure.
In that second to last paragraph, doesn't say we have to pay the fee. It just we have to make sure we notify them, because if we don't notify them, then they can come back and demand the fee.
That's correct.
So as long as we follow the steps correctly.
And I don't see any reason why that would be any, because we surely don't want them out continuing to market our vehicle
right,
after we've sold it or entered into an agreement to sell it.
Pardon my ignorance here, but why would we go through a broker as opposed to just like going, putting it on eBay? Or, I mean, are there easy ways that we can market it ourselves, or is it just
quite
too,
honestly,
too hard?
It's
no.
The,
we're auction it off in the township auction?
We could auction it off. And historically speaking, every vehicle that we've auctioned off, we've made about $2,000 or $3,000 off of.
Okay.
So it is the worst option for us financially.
Okay.
We get rid of the vehicle, but you know, this is an opportunity for us to really gain some capital fund off of a vehicle that someone wants.
Sure.
Secondly, eBay, not a huge market. Usually, a lot of the vehicles that you see on like an eBay or those others are a lot more towards the line of they're really old collector type vehicles.
Okay.
Or something for someone to restore.
I'm just wondering about, like, Township Association. We have there's a magazine, and I know they have, they run ads in those. I just feel that if we haven't really been out there putting the word out too much, I don't know if we're willing to give up, $7,000 for someone to put a picture on a website, to tell you the truth.
Well, but if that happens, we would get $60,000 as opposed to what I'm hearing. If we tried to do it ourselves, maybe you'd only get $10,000 or $20,000. So,
I don't understand that.
So let's say you get $70,000.
Right.
Let's say they market it and get it for $70,000.
Right.
And they get 10%.
Right.
$7,000. Well, so I guess it would be.
We get $63,000.
$63,000. Excuse me.
But if we sell it for $70,000, we get $70,000.
Well, but assuming that we're sophisticated enough to sell it for $70,000, and we can find somebody locally or in the state for $70,000.
And the only other thing that I would say is, if we did something like that, we're only advertising within the state. And with this company, I mean, they're on the internet, they're established, they're sending out the magazines across the country. I just think that we're broadening our marketing going through this company.
I mean, that was the question I was asking, if there are ways that we can do it ourselves.
Right.
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of rural fire departments that might have an interest in this in Ohio.
I wouldn't disagree with you, but it's a matter of whether they have the funding.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them don't. Back in 2003, when we had to do an emergency purchase of what's now our reserve engine, we sold that bad engine, that we blew the motor on it, basically, and it wasn't worth us putting the money into it. We sold it for $1 to a small volunteer department outside of Logan, whose annual operating budget was $8,000 a year. I'm not saying they're all like that, but a lot of them just don't have the capital to purchase the equipment.
But a lot of them, I mean, you either have a capital or not, whether you're in Ohio or you're outside of Ohio. So I would think that there would be company departments in Ohio that would have a need and have the money. If they don't, we feel that we really did check it, then I think we could go this route. But what I'm hearing is that through word of mouth, we've had a couple companies, departments, inquire. They were small, they didn't have the money. But we haven't really tried to sell it. I think this is always an option for us. I mean, you know, we're not feeding it. You know, it's not really costing us anything. And, you know, do we wait a month or a couple months for the $7,000? I don't mean to be nickel and diamond, but $7,000 is $7,000. I mean, we don't have a motion. I probably have a motion on the table first. But
I see both sides of it, but you know, I also see that I don't know that Deputy Chief Ponzi has all day to, you know, go on the internet and try to market this, you know, in 50 states to, you know, every fire associate.
And I can surely offer this up also. I don't disagree with what you're saying whatsoever. You know, we could surely try to do our own marketing at the same time. There's nothing that's going to stop us. If we find our own buyer, we're not penalized. So, you know, we could surely do that. We could go and place an ad in the OTA magazines. You know, if others have ideas, we'd be more than willing to entertain. And we could also be advertising through this company at the same time. If we find a third-party buyer on our own, then better off to us.
So we could do both.
Absolutely.
In parallel. Absolutely. Because I see a lot of ads in the OTA magazine for dump trucks and backhoes and fire equipment. I don't know how much success they have in actually selling it through that. Maybe that'd be something to check too. But it must be somewhat successful based on the number of ads there are every issue. So,
well, and another option that we could also pursue on our side is, you know, I'm sure with any organization, there's pretty large email chains out there. Send it out to a couple of regional directors, ask them to send it out to their local fire chiefs and say, here's what we have for sale. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, please contact us.
But to your original point, doing all of that, I mean, we could try to do it all in-house, and maybe the best offer we get would be $30,000, just pulling it out of the air. Whereas if you go through these guys, and if they're turning over every rock in the country, they might be able to get double that. I mean, you have to be willing to part with that,
yeah.
Find that broker's percentage, but you're still getting more money.
Why not?
Through the process.
Go ahead and do both operations, only a nationally negotiated price with somebody, say, in Indiana or Tennessee or something. We have a price base that says we're going to make sure we cover not only what we want out of the truck and the fee that it's going to take, and that would give us the ability to sell it to a local or a self-found department somewhere in the state through OTA or whatever for an amount that makes sure we're at least making as much money. That way we can take the best of both, the way I would see it.
So you're saying set a floor amount?
Set a floor amount from Brindley when we negotiate with whoever they refer to us that covers the fee, and a base amount that we can get if we sell it through OTA or email or other departments. That way we don't, in essence, it really doesn't cost us the fee if we can make sure we get more than enough to cover that based on their, I mean, that's what we're paying them for anyway, is to get a higher price.
We're not paying them anything, just to be clear. I mean, they're taking a cut of whatever you sell it for. Right. We're not expending any money for these people.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I'm just talking about the net value we receive in money after either their fee or no fee if we sell at OTA. You know, if $70,000 is a target for them and we're able to sell it for $65,000, then let's sell it at $65,000. We're actually $2,000 ahead even with the fee. But if the best we can do OTA is $50,000, they can get a $65,000 minus a fee, then that's going to give us the most amount. And really, the net effect we get is still better.
Sure, understand completely.
So to me, it seems like pursuing both makes a lot of sense. And just keep in mind both of them as we're getting offers or negotiating a price.
Sure.
That we cover the fee.
Absolutely. And I think Chief Honeycutt has a baseline that he wants to be at. After speaking with the representative from Brindley of a range that he thought was reasonable for that vehicle. And, you know, when I spoke to Chief Honeycutt today, he said, you know, make sure that I emphasize that they have sold those up to 70. I wanted to give you the top number, not saying that's an absolute, but that's where they have been.
You know, aren't we negotiating price?
We are.
Yeah. They're just handing us a referral.
Right. Correct. And then we negotiate.
And then if we negotiate a price and we make sure that our net amount is the largest, either through them after fee or directly from another department.
My point being, there's no risk in this.
Right, exactly.
There's absolutely no risk
in
doing this.
Right.
Okay. No, because if you guys on your own find a department in Northeast Ohio that's willing to give you a set amount, and then Brindley comes in with somebody out of Arkansas with another, you don't have to go with that one. And you could easily sell to the Northeast Ohio Department.
Yeah. And quite honestly,
and then Brindley doesn't get a cut of that because they didn't refer it.
If we did the OTA and some other advertising and we got an offer that was appeasing, quite honestly, I'd just like to get it off the lot and not have to put any more maintenance funds into it. So first come, first served with the best offer, we'd be happy to talk to.
So if we want to push both ends, what do we need to do? Do we need to offer a motion to allow you to enter into this agreement?
Okay. Yes, please.
And then proposed motion here, listing and marketing commission agreement.
And then you guys can take care of the OTA or the
Ohio other, Fire Chiefs.
Other, right, the other methods.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Mr. Chairman, I motion to authorize the listing and marketing commission agreement with Brindley Mountain Fire Apparatus for the sale of the 1996 SEMO International Tanker.
I'll second that motion.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
No. Motion carries.
Thank you.
So you're going to work both ends then?
Yes, sir.
Chief. Okay.
I'll relay that information to Chief Honeycutt upon his return on Monday.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I did have one thing I wanted to add to the fire agenda this evening. We've talked about sirens over the last 5 or 6 months. We had a little bit of research done for some additional information. We had thrown out and received from the fire department some prices on anywhere from 2 to 5 sirens. We were in our earlier discussion somewhat hesitant about the 5. Certainly the possibility of 1 or 2 was brought up. And what I'd like to throw out here as an idea is proposing 1 unit and basing it at our current fire station. Some of the information that was brought to me or researched, that unit would actually cover a significant number of parcels in the township. It would also cover 3 of our parks, 4 schools, assisted living facility, and 4 churches. That, to me, would be a lot of bang for our buck if we spent the price on just 1 unit. It would also give us the opportunity to prove the concept or at least see the effectiveness of that at a relatively small cost compared to the $200,000 we were talking about trying to cover everything. Mm-hmm. 1,800 parcels in the township covers probably from a housetop or population probably close to a third of the residents, particularly when you put into effect the ones that are heard from Westerville and south. And we don't have all the exact sources of the funds here that we probably need to discuss or maybe have research by Paul, but I'd like to at least put that forward as a suggestion to get forward with this and get it moving.
What were those numbers again as far as the, because that was one of my interests was the, especially the parks. But
the parks, okay, there were 3 parks.
3 parks.
4 schools. An assisted living facility, and 4 churches. Now, all of these, well, at least with the exception of the assisted living, are where there's a lot of outdoor activity, which I think is where the majority of our benefit would occur. That was brought up a number of times, was not so much people inside, because with houses these days, that may or may not be that audible. But when there's storms and you're outside in these public areas, that seems like the most beneficial areas, and it covers a significant number of them in one shot. Also, since it would be at the fire station, there's no right-of-way or easements. We've got utilities already there, so I'm thinking that the cost of installation, the cost of maintenance would be lower because it's already our property as a township, and it seems like a good first step to evaluate the land.
I mean, we've talked about, doing some kind of a pilot program or, kind of dipping our toe in the water on this, and I think what you're proposing sounds like a good start. So we've talked about it. I think we need to move forward with it at some capacity, and I think this is reasonable.
Arden, do we have costs?
We do have costs that Honeycutt have worked on. I think Joe's got some figures, but we don't have the exact purchase order gridded because there's a sort of plenty of, you've got the installation cost, you've got the maintenance cost. We want to come together. If you want us to move forward, we can come to the next meeting with a grid of
talk to the company
what's needed for the purchase and do it, probably need to do a budget amendment to allow for this and then have it all done.
single siren. Siren, the decoder package, which is how you activate the siren to set it off. Transformer for electricity for the unit. Antenna, mounting bracket, pole, basic turnkey installation. The batteries for the unit. And shipping fees, $25,366.50. So basically, looks like we tell them go and they come in and install it for us. There's probably got to be a little something in there, I would imagine. We're going to have to figure out where we're going to get electric from. And I don't.
Even though they have batteries in them, you still have to run electric to them?
That's a backup in case the power's out.
All right.
And I don't even know. Gotta imagine it's a pretty significant power source that we'd have to supply to that. So we'd have to examine where we'd get that at. I mean, it's not a, I have background in that, obviously.
Could I offer, though, maybe we just authorize the chief to, and Paul to pursue what it would take installation-wise at the fire station and just kind of get some of these questions answered? I don't know if there's, you know, do we have a place there we could already mount it? I don't know. So without going into the dollar amount at this point, I mean, we authorize you to just go ahead and pursue what installation would entail and what costs.
What other hidden costs we may not have looked at yet and
being
investigate
that. Being
that
we now have a specific site that, that the company could look at.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep. Do you want to?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and make that
so the
motion.
Thing probably what we'd call to do would be identify the exact counts, the different components we need to come from, because we've got installation, we've got equipment, we've got maintenance contracts, we've got agreements with the county, all these different pieces of money would need to be coming from the appropriate accounts. So if we could authorize Paul to do that also.
And if I could interject one moment, the other thing that we haven't looked at and we probably need to include is all those radio signals come from Delaware City.
Right.
And I don't know that we've looked at, does that signal reach our fire station? And if it doesn't, then we've got, that's another hurdle.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's another thing that we really need to look at before we might have a little bit of heart or cart in front of the horse, because if we're not getting the radio signal out of Delaware City, we can't even activate the siren.
Well, you might be able to connect it either by a phone line or by a cable line. I mean, if it's something that can be sent,
it's just
electronically.
Something we need to make sure that we can receive that signal.
Well, and I think that would be part of this
whole process.
The intent behind the motion would be just, you know, what's it take?
Offer a motion up.
Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and offer a motion to authorize the fire department and administration to pursue the additional information necessary to actually install a siren at the existing fire station and determine the account funds that would pay for the siren.
I'll second the motion.
Made and seconded. Further discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries. So we'll just see what we're actually dealing with at this point in time and
bring that to
the
next meeting.
Sure, we'll get updated numbers and we'll start looking at some of the other issues.
And that can be brought to maybe the next trustee meeting.
Is that 2 weeks or a month?
2 weeks.
It'll be 2 weeks anyway.
I'm sorry.
Well, just time frame.
I'll speak with the chief and
see what he said.
See what we can do in 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If we can do it 2 weeks, fine. If it takes longer,
fine.
Well, obviously, it's got to get the company involved in Delaware and make a lot of contacts.
So correct.
Whatever we can get done. But you got the authorization to do it.
All right. Thanks.
Paul?
Good evening, board. I just want to mention under development and zoning, Mr. Schaefer, he headed back to Pennsylvania this evening. He's going to be married Saturday morning, so he's pretty excited about that. But I just want to say that Joe and I have been, we've met with two professional survey firms from Central Ohio. One was Saperstein and Associates, and one is Paul Fallon, and they're both very professional. They've both done extensive work. They're very familiar with Delaware County. They both have, you know, Mr. Saperstein's worked with the City of Delaware, has a long resume, and Mr. Fallon is currently working with two school districts in our township, so he's very familiar with our area. So I've asked each of them to submit a proposal to do a survey for the township related to assistance for our comprehensive plan. So we haven't gotten anything back from them, but maybe at the next meeting I can have a couple proposals for you to consider. Secondly, when we hired Mr. Schaefer from Cranberry Township, he came to us and he left his employment with Cranberry, and he left with him leaving, he left 45 days of sick leave. We are able here, our policy is we will do a sick leave transfer of 160 hours for new employees. So I'll ask the board to approve transfer of 160 hours for Mr. Schaefer.
Okay. We'll go ahead and entertain a motion. I know we have someone who wants to speak to the issue.
So. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll motion to accept 160 hours of sick leave for Development and Zoning Director Joseph Schaefer from Cranberry Township.
I'll second that motion.
Motion made and seconded. Frank?
Frank D'Antonio, 8041 Lewis Center Road. Just a couple questions for clarification. Was the sick leave not paid out from his previous employer? Or was it paid out? Because generally speaking, when you leave employment, you're paid out for unused sick time.
He had over 55 days of sick leave. He was paid out for 10. He left 45 days there.
And that's at whatever rate of pay that was accrued at. But when he uses this sick leave today, or tomorrow, or next year, or the next decade, it's going to be at a higher rate of pay. So in essence, this is costing us money from him not cashing out at his previous employment. So the question is, was this negotiated during the time of employment? And is it included in his contract? And why are we paying a higher rate of pay as compared to what he earned it?
Okay. Well, we discussed this during the employment period, so he just now received his documentation from Cranberry Township. So, and it is a policy we do pay from Delaware County. If they come here from Delaware County to Genoa Township, regardless of what rate they were making, it's always been a policy and a benefit to the employee that they could get 160 hours transferred into the township.
So it was negotiated. I mean, it was discussed during the employment process.
Okay. What is the cost in terms of today's dollars? Not when he's going to use it, but what he was earning where he left versus what he's earning today in today's dollars.
I guess I
don't have that answer.
I guess I question a cost in terms of dollars expended versus time off. Sick leave is time taken when you're not here. We're going to pay him anyway. So this is time that would be, we wouldn't be writing a check to pay him for unused. We're just allowing him this many days of sick should he need to use it. If he in fact does get sick.
He
can't cash this out, right?
Right. He can cash out when he leaves, retires.
Right.
He will cash out or transfer. I guess another way of looking at it is, what was Joe Schaefer's salary before he started here versus Joe Schaefer's salary today multiplied times how many? 45 days. That would be the answer in terms of cost.
So what was Joe making?
I'm not sure without looking at his personnel.
Okay.
I can
Yeah. All we know is what we had been paying for the previous compared to what we are paying Joe is a significant difference. So if you look at what we were paying versus what we are paying, we're saving the township money.
Well, it's not 45 yeah. days.
Thanks, Joe, or Frank.
What was that you speak about? 45 days. It's 160 it's hours, actually, which is actually 20
it's
days.
It's only 20 days.
If you didn't bring 45 back. Days here, that would be 360 hours. So we really only brought 20 days, just
right. okay. to be clear.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. And the 160 is our max that we'll accept.
Yes.
And
it's the max.
Policy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a motion on the, any other comments, discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Auction.
Okay. In your packet of information, there's a listing of several vehicles there that they're under Exhibit A. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 vehicles that are... that we would like to auction off by public auction. These vehicles all have reached their functional obsolescence, and we're asking the board to consider them for a township auction coming up possibly in November once we get the Halloween cleared out. And we have to, by law, we have to wait a certain period of time after we have to advertise so many times and post this.
Okay.
So this would be part of, we have other stuff that the police have confiscated and lost bikes.
No.
And
just these vehicles are the only thing we have.
Okay. So there is not a township-wide auction.
No,
like
there
we've
won't
had
be
in
any.
The past. Okay.
No.
Mr. Chairman, I will motion the following. Whereas the following described personal property owned by the township is no longer needed for township purposes, see attached Exhibit A. Whereas the estimated value of said property owned by the township may exceed $2,500, thus requiring the equipment to be auctioned to the highest bidder. And whereas the Genoa Township Board of whereas the Board of Trustees of Genoa Township have deemed that the items set for auction will be listed as Exhibit A. And whereas the Board of Trustees of Genoa Township, having supervision and management of said property, desires to sell said property to the highest bidder. And whereas the Board shall publish notice of the time, place, and manner of the auction once a week for 2 weeks in a newspaper published or of general circulation in the township, the last of those publications to be at least 10 days before the date of sale, and shall post a typewritten or printed notice of the time, place, and manner of the sale in the office of the board for at least 10 days prior to the sale as defined by Ohio Revised Code 505.10. And therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Genoa Township, Delaware County, Ohio, the sale of township property by auction listed as Exhibit A attached to this resolution be accepted to the highest bidder, and be it further resolved that the proceeds from said sale be appropriated in the proper department fund as noted on Exhibit A.
Very good. Motion been made. Is there a second?
I will second that motion.
Very good. Motion been made and seconded. So just to clarify, just the cars or vehicles,
mm-hmm.
and this will take place whenever we decide.
Oh, we'll line up the auctioneer. Mr. Ryan usually volunteers for free and comes in and has fun that day, and it's should be a good time.
Very good. Any other discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Excuse me. Motion carries.
Just a quick note. Fishing day was a big success.
Yes.
The weather was beautiful. The kids were catching humongous fish out of Hillmar Pond. I'm not kidding you. I missed the biggest one of the day. You two saw it.
There was a carp bent the kid's hook, broke off the line, and what part of the fish we did see was about this big, and that was probably half of the fish. It was a large grass eating carp.
Not exaggerating when it was the size of a small child. It was a toddler. I mean, it was enormous.
Big grass carp. The kid was excited, to say the least.
I was excited.
So was his dad. Yeah.
I saw the hook. I mean, it's impressive when a fish can break metal and bend the hook. But the catfish that were coming out of there that day were just huge. And it was a great day for fishing, and I think everyone had a good time.
I do have a question just about Hillmar in general. And I mean, it is a catch-and-release pond.
Yes.
I know we have people fishing there at all hours. I mean, do we ever have, I guess this is a question for Chief, do our officers patrol there and ever tell people to leave, or do we ever catch people catching fish and hauling them away?
I'm not sure we catch fish, but I know we get a lot of calls about people fishing at night, and the officers do go there and do patrol
the area and ask them. Okay. I don't patrol it as much now that my golden retriever passed away, but I usually used to get them out of there at night. You'd see the lanterns.
Is there a prohibition about fishing at night? I mean, is there a sign that says parks closed at dark? Or, I mean, you could fish there, can't you?
Yeah.
You just can't keep it. There is no fishing at night. Okay.
Park closes at dusk.
Okay.
I do want to acknowledge, I think Ron Kyle did a great job.
Yes.
And our Parks Board, Mark Harmon, Phil Johnson was there, Diana Howe was there.
Molly and John.
Yeah. Molly McHale was there. John McHale was there, yeah.
A lot of good volunteers.
That's right. I mean, these events don't put themselves together by themselves, and it's only because we have residents that come out and they volunteer their time and they cook hot dogs and they, you know, hand out water and do all the work for us. So they make the township look good. And so thank you to the Parks Board for that.
And there was a pretty good steady line of kids fishing all day too. That was impressive from 9 until it got done at 1 o'clock or even after. I mean, you had to track some down to get them back in at the end.
Yeah, I have one comment. Mark Harmon, chairman of the Parks Board. I happen to be out of town for the event this year, but I heard from Ron Kyle that while Phil Johnson did an exemplary job cooking hot dogs, they weren't nearly as good as they had been in years past. That's the only thing I'm going to say.
We'll put that on the record.
It's hard to beat a Harmon hot dog.
I was going to say, that sounded like a volunteer for next year.
Well, I also want to thank the police and fire. We had a lot of their folks were out, just a good PR. We had Division of Wildlife. Our wildlife That's officer right. was there. And, it's just a nice community.
One beast thing with the paramedics.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I think the plan is probably to continue that. Personally, I'd like to see it a little earlier in the year, but it's such a success this time of year. Why mess with it? So,
yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you go to announcements,
It
says we're going to close for Columbus Day on October 11th. We're going to go ahead and close the 12th as well, because the 11th is Sunday.
Okay.
So that's my fault.
All right. Very good.
I just happened to look. I'm like, wait a second.
All right, so let's get on through announcements. October 5th, we have the Zoning Commission meeting. October 7th, Comprehensive Planning Workshop, noon to 2. I understand we had a meeting on that just recently.
Last night?
Yeah. October 12th, Columbus Day, offices will be closed. October 14th, our Utility Aggregation Open House, 6 to 7 p.m. That's important. October 14th, our comprehensive plan workshop, 7 to 8 p.m., and October 15th, next regular trustee meeting at 7 p.m. Any other business come before the board? The only thing I would add, and I mentioned it to Chairman Harmon, I think he had talked to some other folks about the other day in the dispatch, maybe yesterday, there was an article in there about parks and different area communities and what their, what the per capita is, what the costs are, what their total budget, how many parks, how many miles of trails, et cetera, et cetera. And it also talked about the value of the parks and these outdoor facilities, recreation facilities, and the value from a community and real estate standpoint. They hit most of the cities and towns in the area. I think it would be a nice project for the park district or park board to look at. in addition to that, but also, and I think you had talked about, Mark, the involvement in the open space plan as part of the comp plan.
And actually, that can all come together.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking for a project because I really don't have enough going on. My car is going to go into storage soon, so I'll have a couple hours a week extra. So, okay. But seriously, because of the way that we're going to approach the comp plan, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, I actually think it's a good thing, it does put what we did in 2010 back into play, and it does definitely need an update. And that can actually be a good piece of that when we do the update as well. So
good.
I agree. And I unfortunately missed that article, and I certainly would like, if somebody in the room could get it to me, I'd appreciate it. So thank you.
Tonight is trash night. You might want to root through some of the recycling bins.
Yes, I'll be coming to a street near you.
Yeah, right. Okay, very good.
On that same topic, I remember in the article that there was a value added on houses, on individual houses, that was anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 in value just based on the proximity to parks. And some of the locations were in municipalities that, in my estimation, don't approach what we have up here. So to me, it seems like the years of making sure there's trails, open space, parks around here adds an enormous amount of value to all of our residents around here. And a big part of that is the parks that we do have and the ability for our Parks Board to continue that.
Very good. All right. You have your project, Mark. Any other business come before the board? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn a regular trustee meeting at 8:24 p.m.
I'll second the motion.
Made and seconded. Discussion, roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye. Motion passes. We stand adjourned.